Hi builders, my name is Pranav Rastogi. I'm a program manager on the Azure Redis Cache product. And today I'm going to be talking to you about building high performance apps using Azure Redis Cache. So in today's talk, I'll be sort of introducing you what are the features that we have in Redis Cache. We'll sort of deep dive into some of the recently released features on Redis Cache, and I'll also give you a quick sneak preview of a feature that we have coming around the build timeframe. And if you have any questions, this slide has my contact email and my Twitter handle, so please feel free to reach out to me in case you have any questions. So this is a quick overview of Azure Redis Cache. Redis Cache is a service that we have in Azure. It's a managed offering where we host Redis for you, and then we manage Redis for you. So as an application developer, you don't have to worry about managing the infrastructure details on hosting Redis. And Redis is an open source platform which can be used as a cache, or it can be used as an in-memory data structure. So Redis is very powerful, it is very performant, and it's much better than any traditional caching platforms because it allows you to have these in-memory data structures that you can use on the server side. So if you're building applications like leaderboard or you want to show the top 5 tweets, then you can use these advanced data structures in Redis. From an Azure perspective, we have Redis available in 3 offerings. There is the basic tier, which is for development test only. There is no SLA on the basic tier. There is standard, which is where we spin up a 2-node configuration for you where there's a master-slave setup, and in case of any issues with the master, we'll fail you over to the slave, and then we'll replicate the data from master to slave as well. So this is a SKU where we provide an SLA of 3 nines, and this is a SKU that we recommend for production. We also very recently released the premium tier, which is what we'll cover in more details. And premium tier has all the features of standard, plus a lot more. Also, the unique aspect of hosting Redis on Azure is we also provide support for SSL. So if you're connecting to a Redis endpoint over a public internet, then your data is encrypted at transfer. Redis is available in all regions, including Azure China and US government as well. It's available in different SKU sizes, like you can go and create caches from 250 megs to all the way to 530 gigs of data that you can store. And you can call us if you want to store more data in Redis. We also give you a lot of benefits of hosting in Azure. So for example, we have RBAC on who can provision a cache. There is the alerting system, which includes you can set up alerts if your cache usage goes beyond a certain threshold. There is monitoring, there's diagnostics. You can provision caches using either ARM or any of the management clients like PowerShell, REST APIs, Crossplat CLI, and the portal. We also have plugins that you can easily integrate the Azure Redis offering if you have solutions that you're using for like WordPress, Drupal, or any of the CMS applications out there. So, and lastly, we also have support for ASP.NET session and output cache providers. So if you want to store your session data and your output cache data in Redis in an ASP.NET developer, then you can also sort of do that. So let's quickly look at the overview of the premium tier. Premium tier is an advanced offering that we are offering. It's an enterprise-ready tier, which includes all the benefits of standard, plus a lot more which helps you build these mission-critical applications. And the sort of 4 highlights of the premium tier are it has better performance as compared to standard. So premium tiers have better hardware, so inherently they have higher throughput and higher bandwidth. So you can get a much better performance on premium tier. Also, if you're storing larger key sizes, then premium tier is recommended. We have Redis persistence, Redis clustering, and Azure Virtual Networks, which allows you to deploy caches inside a virtual network itself. So let's look at each of them in a little more detail. Redis data persistence is a feature which allows you to take a snapshot of your cache data. And the snapshot is stored in Azure Blob Storage. The benefit of enabling persistence is in case there is a 2-node failure where both nodes of the cache go down, then today in the standard tier when both nodes come up, then there is going to be data loss since in standard tier all the data is stored in memory. If you enable premium tier persistence, then you can take a snapshot of the cache at some frequency. It varies from like 15 minutes to an hour. And we will persist this data in Azure Storage. And when both nodes go down in case of infrastructure failures or any sort of major outages, then when the cache comes back up, it'll have the data in the cache itself. So it increases your resiliency against data loss. And from a Redis perspective, persistence is offered in two modes. There's the RDP snapshot, which is what we offer in Azure today, and then there is the append-only file model, which will be coming online soon in Azure. So we do recommend Redis data persistence as a way to increase resiliency against potential data loss that can happen. Then we have Redis Cluster, and Cluster is basically the same Redis clustering feature which was introduced in Redis 3.0. It allows you to do server-side sharding, where now you can split your load and create a cluster. So you can create a cluster of 10 nodes in Azure. We offer you a master-slave pair where each node has a master-slave setup. So each node is set up to be replicated from a master to slave. So in case a failover happens, any error happens, then we fail you from master to slave. And the benefits of using clustering are, let's say if you want to create a workload of higher memory size. So in standard, the limit is 53 gigs. If you want to store more than 53 gigs, then you can create clustering. And also for higher throughput. So in standard, the throughput that you get is about sort of 150K ops per second. But if you create a premium size cluster of 10 nodes, and each node can store 53 gigs, then for each shard, you'll get about 250K ops per second. So the total throughput that you can get is about 2.5 million ops per second if you are storing about 1KB key value. And we have more details in our documentation site on how about these numbers. So clustering is a good way to store more data. It's a good way to do server-side sharding where data is gonna be evenly distributed across the shards. So you don't have to worry from an application perspective on how do you split the keys amongst all the shards in the cluster. And also in case of any failures, Redis cluster by itself will reshard the keys, and so it's gonna keep the cluster healthy. So it's a very good way of abstracting away these sort of low-level details of maintaining a cluster. Lastly, we have a sort of virtual network as the feature that we launched with the premium tier. So this diagram sort of illustrates what a virtual network is. The boundaries of the chopsticks are the virtual network boundaries. So any request from outside this boundary cannot access the cache. Equal in this picture is the light paid Redis cache, and sort of my premium green tea is any compute that's gonna talk to a cache. It could be an app service, it could be VMs, cloud service. Sort of pick your own compute layer. So in this diagram, what we are saying essentially is only the green tea is what can talk to equal. So, and any compute that is inside the virtual network can access the cache. Any request from outside the virtual network will not be able to access the cache. So it's a good way to further sort of isolate your cache and restrict network access. So it's a very good way of abstracting away like what can access your cache, and for the further using the features in Azure Virtual Networking like NSG rules, you can set up express routes, you can further lock down the access to the cache. It's a great way for enterprises to control who has access to cache. So let's look at some of these features in action. Everything that I'm showing you is available publicly. I've gone to the Azure portal, and I'm going to create a new Redis cache with all the premium features that I showed you. So this is a Redis cache. I can specify my cache name, which is a unique DNS name. I can specify my subscription, resource group. I can specify what location should my cache be in. So I'm just gonna pick West US. And to start using the premium features, you have to select the premium tier. And as soon as you select the premium tier, you'll notice that the premium options are available. So now I can specify clustering. So right now you can only enable clustering as a create experience, and then you can specify the number of shards. You can change the number of shards after you've created the cache as well. So in this case, I'm gonna create a cache with the 3 shards. I can also now configure data persistence. So I can select how often do I wanna back up my data. So in this case, let's say 30 minutes. And where do I want to store this backed up file? So in this case, I'm going to pick a storage account which is in the same region as the cache that I created. So and then the data that we store in the cache is going to be used in case both nodes go down, and when the cache comes back up, we're going to rehydrate the cache from that storage account. And this is the, by default, you can select the primary or the secondary key that we should use. And lastly, you can also deploy this cache inside a virtual network. So in this dropdown, these are the virtual networks that are in West US region. I can select the subnet details, and I can also specify a static IP. Static IP is optional. If you don't specify one, we'll just look one dynamically available within the specified subnet range, and we'll go ahead and create the cache. So if I click create, it's gonna create the cache. I'm not gonna go create it because it's gonna take some time, but I will load up a cache which I have already created, and we'll look at how clustering is used. So this is a cache which has clustering enabled. You would see over here that's a premium size cache which three shards. Each shard can store about 13 gigs. So I can store about 39 gigs of data in the cache. So let's use this cache in our from our application. So here I have a simple console application. I've connected it using Stack Exchange Redis. Stack Exchange Redis is now also available on .NET Core, so you can build your cross-plat .NET apps as well. And I'm sort of showing you three ways of where I can start using Redis clustering. I have three patterns on how Redis clustering is going to work. It's the same patterns that are available in the publicly available sort of Redis IO. There's nothing special to Azure. If I just want to store keys, I can store keys of build demo cluster 1 to 20, and Redis is going to evenly shard these 20 keys in the three shards that I have. I can be special, and I can be I can say that I want to store all customers on the same shards. So for example, I want to store customers from 1 to 20 on the same shard. And the reason I want to do it is because I can then access the shards individually, and I can sort of further increase the throughput of my application. And the last pattern is, let's say I have customers and they have their order details. So I want to store customer A and customer A's orders on the same shard, and then customer B and customer B's order on the same shard. And then customer C and D, I want to store on a different shard. And again, the reason I want to do it is so that I can increase the throughput of my application. So the pattern that you can use to store customers and their orders information is as follow. You can use this pattern of curly brace, key name, colon, customer ID. So in this case, ID is going to be 10 to 20. And then same key dot orders will store the orders of that customer on the same shard. So let's run this application. And we're going to use Redis CLI to connect to the cluster endpoint. And we'll use that to see how the keys are being sharded. So here I'm storing all the key patterns that I just showed you. And I have this console this console prompt where I'm going to connect to 3001 port. I'm going to say keys build demo cluster star. So you'll see that these keys are now sharded across the three shards that I have. So I go to 3002, then I go to build demo cluster. So that's the key. Now if I want to see how are the customers and their orders stored, then I'm going to connect to, again, 3001. And I'm going to do keys. Let's copy again. And then paste it. Let's do keys. Let's do build demo customer colon star. And so you will see that customer 14 and the orders is on the chart, customer 18 and the orders on the shard, and 10 and their order on this shard. And that's what I was telling you earlier, where you can store customers and the orders on a single shard, and you can pair them together so that you can now look up customer 10 to 20 and their orders on shard 13001. So that's a great way of experimenting and optimizing how do you use a cluster. And if you go to the redis.io clustering docs, which we have linked from our Azure Docs, Redis Cache docs, you will learn more about how else to use clustering as well in your application. So I'm going to switch back to the portal. And so this was the cluster chart that we were looking at. if I just open up get set perf counters, you will see the perf counters for all the shards in the cluster. So you can monitor the entire cluster, or you can monitor some of the shards. And then based on your alerting logic, you can raise alerts if the getset calls for a certain shard increases at a certain threshold or for the entire cluster. So that's how we show you all the metrics for a clustered cache as well. I'm going to now show you a web application which is deployed inside a virtual network, and it's accessing a cache inside that virtual network itself. So the demo is pretty simple. I'm going to browse, and you can see this value from the cache. But if I go to the network, the routing section, and I expand networking, so you will see that it has this web app is deployed inside a virtual network, and the cache is also deployed in the same virtual network. And if I configure the web app to remove the virtual network integration, so I'll disconnect. So now the web app is not deployed inside the virtual network. And if I switch back to the application, if I browse, so this is still cached in memory. So now I cannot access the site as well. So this is what happens when you try to access a cache from outside the virtual network. One new feature that we just released is called recommendations. And what recommendations is all about is if we detect from a server perspective that the load that you're running on the cache is going to increase any of the defined performance counters. So for example, if you've picked up a cache to store a gig of data, and then you realize that you're storing like more than a gig of data, or you're approaching this cache's limit, we'll try to notify you that, hey, you're approaching this cache's recommended limit. And if you continue to run your workload, you'll start to see timeout in your applications. Because what happens from a server perspective is, as you start to increase or cross these thresholds around what's my network bandwidth usage, what's my Redis server load, what does my memory load look like, then from a client perspective, you'll start to see timeouts. And what we observed was a lot of customers were not able to correlate as to why they were getting so many timeouts in their applications. And what was happening from a server perspective was they were approaching or crossing the thresholds for their caches. So now we have a feature called Azure Recommendations, where when we detect that you've exceeded or are approaching these limits, we'll notify you that, hey, your performance might be impacted. Please, and we'll show you why your performance is impacted. So in this case, this cache has exceeded or approaching this cache's limit of bandwidth, connected clients, server load. And then we'll recommend, say, hey, you can either choose a cache tier which is more suited for your workload. So a higher cache tier is going to have more memory, more number of connections, more bandwidth. So that's probably better suited for your load. Or you can also try to optimize your client load and sort of reduce it if you want to stick with the current cache offering that you have. So that's a great way of sort of knowing about some of the performance implications of the current cache that you have. And now is the time that I'll give you sort of a quick preview of a feature that's going to come online fairly soon. It's called Import and Export. And basically what the feature implies is if you want to import data into Redis cache, or you want to export data from Redis cache, then you will be able to do it fairly soon. And so what we have in this case is an option where you'll be able to go to the portal or through CLI, where you'll be able to import an RDB file, which is the Redis compliant file format, into cache. And when you import data into an existing cache, then any existing data is going to be overwritten. And then you can export data from a cache to an RDB compliant Redis file. The beauty of it is that you can move from any Redis server to Azure. And then simply by importing these RDB files. So you can also import export clustered RDB files as well. I hope you had sort of a good overview of what features we have in the premium tier. Here are some links to our documentation site and introduction to the premium tier. with the tutorials on how you can sort of create these features, some more details on the workings, what's supported, what's not supported. And then what I would highly suggest you is go ahead and try out these features. If you have any feedback, please sort of reach out to us and let us know your thoughts about these features. And thank you so much for listening to me talk. Happy building, and thank you so much.